Hey, it's your boy, the director Chris Keeling, coming to you with another Geekultural Experience podcast. It is now February the 4th, 2022, and tonight we are going to talk about things that are geek, and we're going to talk about collecting things as a geek.
Healthy hoarding.
Right. So with me tonight, as always, is the lovely, talented Sarah the Ted.
Hello.
Alisa Wiggins.
Hola.
And Christopher Matthews.
Hola, como esta hoy podcast.
Yeah, we're all doing, we've been learning some Spanish here and there, and everyone thinks they know everything, so we go.
Anyways, I know dirty words.
So let's talk about collecting. One of the big significant parts of geek collecting are comic books. I have done that in the past. I personally now prefer graphic novels because I'd rather absorb my content in larger amounts at one time than not. So, Sir the Ted, what do you collect?
Dust.
Where should I begin?
How about your Alice in Wonderland obsession?
It's not an obsession.
Sure.
One makes you smaller.
Yeah, no. It's, one it's not an upset. No, I do. I have a healthy obsession of Alice in Wonderland.
She's lying.
There are worse out there.
They are.
But seriously, next time we go to L.A., you are going to be subjected to a Alice in Wonderland and a Tim Burton tea house.
Uh-oh.
But, yeah. Anyway, I do collect Alice in Wonderland for Christmas. Chris got me a cool game. It's a Funko Pop collectible Alice in Wonderland game. Haven't played it yet, but going to sometime soon. And just recently, our oldest child, she went to Disneyland, and she got me a Golden Afternoon candle. It's a porcelain candle holder. She wants me to actually use the candle because the candle holder is reusable. It's got the flowers on it from Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, and there might be something that she might have gotten one of those hidden jewelry.
Never know. She didn't say. But yeah. So anyway, she got me that. I walk around wearing a Cheshire Cat mask during this whole pandemic.
It's her unconscious desire to disappear.
My wallet is the talking doorknob from Alice in Wonderland. Yep.
So if we're defining this, and it's Disney's version of Alice in Wonderland is what she has most things of. But since you are an Alice in Wonderland fan, I should let you know that they have confirmed that they will be making an Alice Into the Madness TV series.
Yeah, American McGee's Alice. I heard about that because I follow a group on Facebook. I was all excited. But no, my other obsession is Funko Pops. I love Funko Pops.
Same.
I'm even into them, but it has to be something I really like, not just because it's a Funko Pop.
Sam Elliott.
Yeah, all the Tombstone guys and all the different versions. In fact, there's one right here in front of the computer, Doc Holliday. There's
I've got
three
most of the
different versions of Doc Holliday.
Yeah.
One with a cup, one with the I'm Your Huckleberry, and one with the shotgun at the shootout. I've got two sets of all of them.
Yep.
Do you keep one of those sets in the boxes in mint condition?
One set, yeah. The other set's for playing with. And the other one, as you effing well know, is on my desk at work.
Right. No, I know. I know. Yeah. No, I know.
They're guarding all my shit, so don't.
I'm not judging. Trust me. I collect Green Lantern stuff, so hey, it's cool.
And I even want to take the Virgil Earp and paint the mustache, make it look more like Sam Elliott in his earlier days, but I haven't gone that far yet.
Are you like Sam Elliott in like Mask, or is that even not even young enough?
I don't remember, but more like in Conniger in the 80s on TV.
Okay.
Yeah, that far back.
So what about you, Alisa? What is it you're into collecting?
Dust. She's glaring at me across the table. Like, I'm going to put a spell on you, you bastard.
Novelty coffee mugs support characters in movies. You know, like, my prize in the is Edna Mode right now. Anything Wizard of Oz, witch related, not our Wicked Witch related. I don't want to know about that pink, poofy, bleh. I do collect certain comics. I did before the fire. Because Evil Ernie rocked, along with the Psychotic Button.
Tell us about the Psychotic Button.
Oh, it was a possessed smiley button that whispered Armageddon tips to Evil Ernie, who worked for Lady Death.
I love that idea. Yeah. I haven't read it, but I love that
smiley,
idea hearing about it.
The Psychotic Button. I will have to show you one day.
Anyway, I think I'm into it already.
It basically, anything that makes me smile. Right now, my prize collection of my smile is a little chibi Cthulhu. And I pull him out, and he makes me smile. And he's red, and he's got little hearts in his eyes. That's it.
Interesting. Yeah, you know, I think I grew up in a family where collecting was definitely not frowned upon. My dad is a huge Star Wars and Batman fan. Holy crap.
If you could see his room.
I want that room. I don't know where I put it, but I want that room.
I know. Now being in my 40s and that things have recycled from my childhood, I'm now collecting Masters of the Universe figures again because that's what I liked in my childhood. I've mentioned on maybe at least one Geek Cultural podcast that He-Man is my gateway drug into nerddom.
Chris is thinking about making their next house look like Castle Grayskull. Oops, I gave him the idea. My bad.
As long as it's not my cold bad. And damp inside,
yeah.
We're good.
Yeah.
Well, maybe make it more like Snake Mountain. I don't know. There you Whatever. Go. The Fright Zone. Oh, wow. So, but no, and now I know they're... I was disappointed because we had to go out of town. And I went in this store and they couldn't buy the figures I wanted because they weren't out for the release date until this week.
It's like they were teasing you.
Exactly.
Put them
on
the shelves and...
So, and you know, that's my collection. That and I collect figures. I know about 2011, I started collecting Green Lantern graphic novels.
Sorry. Sorry.
Somebody just...
Wait. I'm going to say, be in the presence. Be now. No.
We have to write her a ticket for a violation of podcasting rules.
Yeah. Didn't mean to push that.
Yeah.
And you'll wonder why I go after you. And
yeah, it can be edited in post.
Right. No. Yeah. Anyways, this will be cut
edited in post.
Anyway, so...
It falls on me, the sound guy.
But to go into it... You know, so 2011, I started really collecting graphic novels again. And I, Jeff Johns, who was a writer for DC, had written something called the Lantern Wars, where they introduced all these lanterns to the Green Lantern mythology. And I was like way, way into that story. They're talking about you had your green and your yellow, which had always been around, your willpower and your fear. And then all of a sudden they brought in blue, which meant hope. And anyway, so I collect like all sorts of Hal Jordans in every color of it because I like Hal Jordan. And I'm excited, which also note is that they're doing a Green Lantern TV series with another kind of famous Green Lantern. And I'm not sure how they're going to do it, but Guy Gardner. And I'm just like, okay, I'll go with it. Why not?
Don't forget to tell everybody your collection of Zombicide.
Wait, look. Look, we won't talk about board games because board game collecting is a different animal. But that is something you can, we can talk about. However, I do believe a tabletop podcast, which I think we've done a couple, merits its own thing, especially about Zombicide, because it's like the greatest game ever.
True.
Because it's the one game that you don't compete with each other, because when we play games where you compete against each other, I'm the asshole. I'm just saying.
No, just
you're still the asshole, but we love you for that.
Oh, yeah. Hey, anybody down for some Machi Koru?
No.
But, you know, and collecting, you know, collect baseball cards, comic book cards.
I have a question for everybody, and this is based on my early experience. Have you ever had collecting go wrong? Like maintenance? I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. When I grew up, it was car model kits were the thing. George Barris, the Odd Rods Monogram, all these kits. And they started going the way of the dodo when the internet came in. But before that, I could even see that they were going, the companies got sold, the models weren't as good. So I started hoarding model kits and I started collecting. The problem with it was they take storage. If they're open in the box, you have all those tiny little pieces. You got to take really good care of them. They have to be in a sealed room with airtight so that the heat doesn't melt them. And then when you pick them up, you got, if they're loose, you got to have all those pieces. And then there's the absurdity of collecting a kit that you're never going to build because it's precious unbuilt. It's kind of absurd.
So I'm going to put it out there. That's my dad.
Yeah, yeah.
My dad has so many models.
I'm closer to your dad's generation, even though I'm only 38 this month. give or take a decade or two. Yeah, model kits were a big, fat, hairy deal. We haven't had summer school classes where you model building class. That was great. It was an excuse to go in there and sniff glue. No, just kidding.
But yes, I do have an answer for your question. Yeah. We are movie fans. So we collect movies. We collect all sorts of movies. And because we'd go out and go to like the $5 bins. Oh, shit. I ain't seen this. Let's get this. And we walk away with like 20, 30, 40 movies just because, hey, we had some time. Tax return came back. Bought a couple of TV series. Yes. We'd get into, oh, let's watch a show we bought 5 years ago. Come find out it's a bad copy.
Oh.
So, collecting going bad, yeah.
Yeah, I had
two words. Beanie Babies.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, that's a good bad example.
I know somebody who actually tried to mortgage his house twice to buy Beanie Babies because they were the thing. And
now they're worthless.
Well, now they're coming back from the nostalgia, sort of. But they will never be what they were projected. The guy lost his marriage. He lost his house. He damn near lost his job. And it was just... He was literally on the New York Times as the biggest Beanie Baby collector. And look what happened to him.
Yeah. Well, it can get unhealthy, like compulsive gambling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, let's face facts. Something's only worth whatever someone's going to pay for. Like...
And that changes, too.
Oh, yeah. We went down to a comic book store. I'm not going to name names, but it had some really expensive comics. We're talking about Amazing Spider-Man 1.
Oh, my God.
We're talking about, like, Action Comics, the first Superman. They want, you know, I'm not even if you don't know, just know that these are
student debt.
Right. Price. However... Now, let me tell you why I wouldn't have bought any of those comics, even if I had money. Sun Faded Through the Sun. You hang them up on a wall by a window. Ugh.
Especially that old school paper and ink.
Well, do you think they were reprints, maybe? That's probably why they did that?
it doesn't matter. I mean, what makes a comic book or a baseball card or whatever type of item like that a Star Wars character is something in its uniqueness, something in its rareness. Oh, you printed out 10 copies of Superman, right? Over the years, dog got into it, fire happened, whatever. Now you only have 2 copies. There's your value. Because somebody out there is, I got money, so I'm going to show I got money, and I love comic books, I'm going to buy that comic book. Cool. Awesome story. You know, it's just like, if you look at Star Wars figures, there's like, oh, Darth Vader's the most. No. Honestly, it's like your little aliens, because nobody wants those characters. Everybody wants Darth Vader. Everybody wants Luke Skywalker. Everyone wants Yoda. You'd still
yeah, the popular ones. Thing is the thing that loses value because it's over-reproduced.
Or look at like Boba Fett, like the first Boba Fett that came out. It was at the time worth, what, several years ago, and that might be like 20 years ago, it was worth over $20,000 because it was the Boba Fett figure that the jetpack launched off his back, which got canceled after like the first print.
Yeah.
Oh, and my parents, before we moved away from Okinawa as a kid, they sold all my He-Man, all my Star Wars for bargain bin prices.
Oh, God. My dad sold my G.I. Joe Sears seal sled kit, which had a intact rubber suit in it. Everybody tore that rubber suit in there, and of course it was a seal sled, and the suit was bright orange, with Spec Ops would never wear that. I mean, you'd get assassinated coming out in a bright orange suit. It was kind of absurd,
right.
But yeah, it's worth like $300 now. My dad sold it for like $5 at a garage sale.
Like, and my mom, man, every time I'm like, hey, remember? Oh, shut up. Okay.
Yeah. A good example of how things are only worth something if you put the worth on it is the episode of Weddings for Adams Ruins Everything about how important diamond rings are. They were in a huge slump before the night in the 1950s. Nobody wanted diamonds. They were just clear, boring rocks. They wanted the sapphires. They wanted the rubies. They wanted the emeralds. So the diamond people said in De Beers, how do we get them to do this? And they came up with the diamond ring, engagement ring. And the entire world lost its damn mind. And a diamond you used to be able to buy in 1940 or 1930 for $20 ended up being worth over $1,000.
There's a PBS special or a Frontline or something about how De Beers controlled the diamond market and was totally artificial.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really eye-opening. I'd like to dig it up.
But other than scientific application, there is no real value to a diamond.
Right.
A ruby has more value to the scientific community. So you would think it'd for what it's actually worth and what it can do, it should be more, but it's not.
I'd be more interested in amethyst because it's my birthstone and it's actually pretty.
Yeah. But it's the same thing applies to most of the expensive high-end geek collectibles.
Sure.
I don't really want I want Darth Vader's lightsaber, but I would rather have, when you go to the bar in Mos Eisley's, and I'd rather have some of the memorabilia from the band that's playing or a set of the cups than actual gear that Han Solo wore. I like the support characters and the things that make the story really
good. Oh, come on. If you could have Han Solo's jockstrap, you know you'd go for it.
Honey, I wouldn't mind having the carbonite.
If I could have Harrison Ford, nice. I'm going to shut up now because this is supposed to be PG-13.
I saw somebody somewhere bought the Carbamite thing with him that Boba Fett froze him in. Now, I, for some reason, I'm not the biggest Star Wars geek, but I want that.
It's they actually cool. sell them. They're like, oh, yeah, they used to be like $10,000.
You can get one made into, they got refrigerators that
isn't
are.
Isn't there one that's like a coffee table?
Yeah, a coffee table and a refrigerator.
I think that's
the one
I saw.
That you can slide on your fridge that will come apart just like it is. They have all of it.
I've got, I want so many things. I don't want to add that to it.
Oh, yeah, that one. It's no longer...
Think Geek is no longer there.
It's no longer there anymore.
It got bought out by GameStop.
Oh, figures.
But, yeah, you pay, like,
I want to say something. What you just touched upon about the diamonds is... And this is food for thought. We can come back to it. Is how much of society influences what we think's important.
For advertising.
Just period. Think of it. Hallmark wasn't doing good. All of a sudden, hey, Valentine's Day comes up. Look at women don't have pockets. So guess what? They got to buy purses. How much? And look at how many purses you can buy for like a lot of money. I'm just saying. How much does the, I'll call them the smart ones, because obviously they're smart to be able to con people into thinking a certain way if you want to look at it like that. But just how much does that influence, you know, our decisions on what we find value in? Like, look at a dollar. I mean, seriously, a dollar bill is just a piece of paper. No, now gold and silver, there could be value in that. But even at that, what is to say that has, what gives it value? Besides,
you know,
somebody
there's a whole
there
class
says,
you have to take on in economics and I think ethics too. Somewhere along, I took this class, and I was talking to my nephew about what the value of something is. And a diamond's worth, as Elisa was talking about, diamonds worth God knows how much for a rock, and you're just going to put it on somebody's finger and look at it. Whereas we can't live without water, but water's everywhere, although Nestle and everybody's trying to buy it out and bottle it up, you know. So now it costs money, and you're just paying mostly for the plastic. But water and air, I mean, they're free, and people call something priceless, and yet that's really what priceless means, is something that you can't put a value on, like air or water, and yet we take it for granted because it's just around us,
right?
So. Well, I firmly believe the water. Bottled water is the biggest scam that everybody
wants. It kind of is, and yet I do it just because I can. It's portable. That's why you buy it.
Yeah, but, I mean, it would be so much easier if you got a washable bottle.
Right.
Filled it up, threw it in your fridge, left the house.
Right.
Okay.
And it would be so much better for the
I've got something to say about it, though. It depends on where you live. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it kind of does.
But anyways, getting back on topic of nursing, you know, and it is, dude, we went to Comic-Con in 2011, and they have, like, big nerd paintings. Like, they got a painting of Batman and his rogue gallery as Rocky Horror and Picture Show, $25,000.
But that was that's a single copy by an actual artist.
No,
right?
You could buy multiple copies of these things,
okay.
$25,000.
But it's probably, is it huge?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
yes,
God,
it's really
dude.
Big.
No, these paintings we saw, they were huge. They're real well done. But you, dude, the nerd market has got so much value in it. And you know what? Let's face it. I've got it. I can solve the value. Huh?
You see some absurd stuff with the non-fungible tokens.
The value?
Nowadays,
nostalgia.
Too.
I guarantee nostalgia is one of those markets everybody caters to, and oh, I love it because I loved it as a kid, or I love.
It's like the comfort food.
I love the McRib because it made me happy when I was 10.
Yeah.
How
And it only comes out once in a while, so you gotta grab it while it's there.
Supply and demand.
The McFlurry.
Yeah, I see. One of my collecting thing is music instruments, although I've collected other things over the years. But one thing I see that's idiotic is I paid a lot for an Ed O'Brien Strat, which is a Fender. I paid about $1,200 for this, and I had it plecked by Sweetwater, which plecking is you put it in a machine, and they sand the frets down, and they do it, and they prep your guitar so it stays in tune and make it perfect. You know, it should have been done at the factory. But there's some absurd, but it's a good instrument and it's unique and it has unique stuff, which is why I wanted it and I would pay that much for it. It's got a sustainer in it. It's got electronics that I could install them on my own, but the work would be, I don't know, I probably wouldn't get finished it for a couple months, and it's already done. So I don't mind paying that much for it, and it's a nice guitar. It's going to last. And I'm only buying that one, yeah, for now. But there's people that buy, Chris was mentioning these rich guys that buy comics as trophies. There's the same thing in the guitar buying world. These rich guys that buy a $10,000, $25,000 Les Paul or Stratocaster because it's a Jimmy Page model. And it just has, it has a fake signature on it, and they put it above their fireplace, and they don't play it. And they just probably invite their friends over and go, look, I got a Jimmy Page one. Big effing deal. You could buy a cheap Les Paul, spray, have it painted the same way, and put the electronics in on your own and make it your own and play it for way, like a fraction of the price. It's so dumb. I mean,
or you could do all of that. And just wait out and wait out for your favorite artist to come out of the back door of the wherever he is and sign it.
Well, yeah. Okay. With
that's
what,
a little harder to do nowadays, though.
With security. What you said, though, is but they'll know it's not authentic.
Yeah.
They know that. They want the authentic item that they paid for. Like sports collectors, yeah. You know, they'll go out and get that. Authentic,
yeah.
Whatever.
It has OJ's sweat in it before he's.
No. Do you ever remember somebody bought that like half-eaten grilled cheese sandwich of Justin Timberlake's for $20,000 or something?
When eBay first came out, a lot of people were doing that. A lot of people were following celebrities around.
I remember the day Mark and Brian had Kiss in the studio the day before, and Gene Simmons or Paul Stanley spit his gum into the trash on a guitar pick and left it there. So they came on the radio the next week and they said, they started talking about how crazy Kiss collectors were. And they said, I wonder if we could auction off this guitar pick with Paul Stanley, or I think it was Gene's gum on it, chewed gum. And they did it as a joke, and people were calling in with these huge bids, and they wound up making money for charity. And I was stunned. I was like, you're going to put. Chewed gum. I don't care who it is. It's chewed gum on a guitar pick.
Yeah.
It's useless.
That's like an episode of The Big Bang Theory where Penny gave Sheldon a napkin. And because she used to work at the Cheesecake Factory. And Leonard Nimoy was there eating lunch.
Oh, I think I heard about this episode.
And he wiped
I am the one lone person in the universe who's not seen
yeah,
the Big
he
Bang
wiped
Theory.
His mouth. With the napkin, and she kept it and gave it to Sheldon as a Christmas gift. Well, he opens it up, and he was like, I have, Leonard Nimoy's DNA, because somebody out there might be smart enough to try to clone this, try to get the DNA off and try to clone their own celebrity. Yeah. You never
that's like,
know.
What was the name of the actor that played Q on Next Generation? What was his name? He was on Breaking Bad later as...
Oh, crud. I know you're talking about. I can't think of his name. Yeah.
He's back on Picard right now.
Yeah. He tells a story. I think it's in the movie Trekkies where he had a cold one day and was coming out of a Star Trek convention. And he sneezed and he got it on this guy. And the guy goes running down the street going, wow, I got the Q virus. I got the Q virus. I was like, dude... This is kind of funny in the time of COVID telling the story now. It's like this guy actually thought he had the Q virus because he sneezed on him. I was like, wow. I mean, people lose their minds.
Look, I want to go back to that Kiss thing, though. You know, people can feel however they want to about Kiss. I love Kiss.
Yeah.
I think Gene Simmons is kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
But dude knows how to market his brand.
Yeah.
Man, he puts Kiss on everything. You can get a coffin that can
I know.
Also,
I find that.
Also double stand as a cold ice box.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and
I've seen
comic
there's a video
books,
of
so,
a guy being buried in one on the net somewhere.
You know, toys and everything. Look, Gene Simmons knows how to brand itself. Yeah. He did a good job.
But the thing is the more they branded stuff and after they got their makeup out, I thought their music got worse. I'm into classic Kiss because I grew up in the 70s. First Alive, Destroyer, Rock and Roll Over. But after they took their makeup off, I was like, God, they're just a franchise. Yeah.
Right. Well, but if you keep in mind, because if you
Kiss
keep
Army
in mind.
Now descent.
By the time Kiss had taken it off and they did Lick It Up and all that stuff, right? Let's face it, they sounded like the rock bands of that time.
Yeah, the problem is you want to rise above the crowd.
But if you notice, back in the 90s when they did Psycho Circus, they popped themselves back in the makeup and they did like 80.
They broke the spell to me though.
And do you remember they did and they're on like their 100th like farewell tour?
Yeah, I saw the first one in Bakersfield and they put on a hell of a show. It's a great show. That's what they are, is they're a circus. They're entertainers. I love the show, but I'm not the biggest fan, but of their, and they said that was the farewell concert then. They're getting like The Who. They're going to retire for the rest of their life.
Yeah. So,
and it's the thing is, it starts to make you cynical because it's insincere. It's like, you're going to retire again. And it takes the uniqueness out of your experience that you saw them retire on the first show.
So let's talk about. I got another one. I want to talk because you specifically collect this, and I know it is a thing. Horrible movies.
Oh God!
I have one for you, by the way.
But that's more of an experience, and I don't mind if they're cheap, and I don't give a shit
so
if they're worth anything.
There you go. Let's talk about. There's a collection that not everybody looks at. Collecting experiences. There's a lot of people who've. Frowned upon things the way we've handled things in the past. To me, I'd rather, instead of buying a diamond ring or buying an expensive car, I'd rather take my family to go Disneyland. Why? Because they're going to have fun with the experience.
It's a memory. It's memories.
And there you go. Maybe collecting memories like that, like a photograph, like a movie reel. To me, maybe that kind of collecting is more valuable than, I got to collect every single version of the Lamborghini that's ever been out there because, hey, I got money and I got to flex it my wealth.
Yeah, because I'm into cars. Some of the supercars get absurd too because yesterday's supercars are not as fast as some of the ordinary cars out now. The technology was different. It's a museum piece. The suspension and the engine technology has moved on. So you get like my little Fiesta is as fast as a Mustang 5.0 in the 80s stock. And people remember those as being really fast cars. But stock, they were like 0 to 60 in like 6.5. We've got Hondas that go 5 seconds or less now. That was Porsche Turbo Carrera stuff in 1975. So you go back and buy these supercars. They're hot. I sat in a Lamborghini Countach one time. Everybody's poster of the 80s poster car along with Christy Brinkley or something. And they're uncomfortable. They've got a V12 engine that's cooking you. You got no air conditioning. You have to be a masochist to drive these things. Everybody's like, wow, these scissor doors are so cool. And they have custom kits to put them on your car. Try driving up to a toll booth in one of those. And it's a little like bank teller window. You have to, it's idiotic.
Bro, the DeLorean. Oh. I know. Oh, it's the car.
Everybody loves
the
DeLorean because of Back to the Future.
However,
it's a horrible car.
It is the smallest ass thing I'd ever seen. And it has a big.
There was one on the base.
When we went to that con, I sat in that car. I looked around and I realized I was able to separate the geek from the reality. And all I could think of is, no, just this. No.
It was compromised.
Hey,
engine.
Man. It fit Einstein.
Right.
No, but
that's all that matters.
Get my picture taken.
me, who never gets bruises, got one from the door frame.
But yeah,
the seat was lower than the frame.
Because you said any, and I didn't, but you know, because I had a customer I dealt with who had a DeLorean. And yeah, we all did the joke, hey, make sure you don't go 88 miles an hour, because we're all witty like that. But the truth is, you know, honestly, I think the only nerd car collecting that legitimately is cool is that dude who collects all the Batmobiles. I mean, I'm not a Batman guy, but the Batmobiles are pretty freaking cool.
Jeff Dunham has a Batmobile.
Just so we're clear, you can buy a Batman car kit.
Sure.
On most cars.
Yeah, but it's kit cars. Yeah, the fit has to be right. They look
But no, because one of the last ones we went to, we saw the Tim Burton 89 Batmobile with the Black Beauty from Green Hornet. That's cool. Yeah. I think that's cool. I think that if I was to collect any vehicle, look, as a fan of Star Wars, I want a Millennium Falcon. I would actually literally go sleep in there. Aw, the ladies in the house are in a bad mood. Yo, Chris, let's go sleep in the Millennium Falcon. Cool, we're fine. We may never come out. Then she goes, hey, is anyone in there? No, sorry, these aren't the droids you're looking for.
Don't leave, let me sleep.
But with that, the one, if I had to, in all serious though, if there was a Star Wars vehicle I want, it's one that's never been on a TV series or a film. And that's the Z95 Headhunter, which is the precursor to the X-Wing.
That one's beyond me, and I thought I knew a lot with hanging around Scotty and you.
So I'm the only one who wants the Ghostbusters ambulance?
It's the hearse?
Oh, no, a
the
lot ambulance. Of people want that. A lot of people want that.
I
don't want it as a Ghostbuster. I want it as, you know, that's all goffy and shit.
If I was to have, there's one, the Ghostbuster hearse. I want the original concept when it was still in black with purple lights. That was cool.
Yeah. When we had the band Crystal Haze here in Ridgecrest, our lead singer was trying to buy us a band vehicle like the Monkees or something. He bought one of those old Cadillac ambulances with the big old 454 block in it. And we're like, John, you got to get somebody to restore this. And it just sat in the driveway rotting. And it was so sad to think those things are hugely collectible now. He paid like $500 for it. It was in pieces. It wasn't super bad, but I'm trying to think, you know, you're going around in a band to all these concerts and the thing's getting like 5 miles to the gallon. It's like, there's a limit to collecting things. It eats into your practicality.
Oh, bro, and you know, I agree, because my biggest collection was my CD collection. Yeah. But then
I'm back into that.
Yeah. Then I ran out of room, and because I decided I was going to put away my CDs, because I put it all on iTunes, and I started doing digital music because I was running out of room, that now I have a place for all my movies.
Yeah,
but you know,
and the movies are taking over.
Yeah. Da-da-da. And you know, of all people know, I have a thing about having the hard copy versus putting something on the cloud. Because it just bothers me that it's like vaporware and something come along and change.
Yes, Chris,
it.
I know you like the hard copy.
Yes, you know that well, too. You caught me red-handed. But you go back to the Batmobile, one of my childhood experiences that went, and this is the reason I got model kits, is I used to love when my parents went down to see my mom's best friend from college. She lived in, not West Hollywood, North Hollywood, right next to Universal Studios. And a lot of people don't realize that on the corner from Universal Studios, across from the bank, was George Barris's custom shop, the guy who made the original Batmobile. And it was there in the window with the Monkey Mobile, the Sonny and Cher Mustangs, and all these. And I was like between 6 and 12 years old. I used to go over and I probably smudged that window with my drool and my breath and my fingerprints, looking at these cars going, oh, Oh, I want that. I was like 5 feet from the original Batmobile, and it was just cool. Ooh. And he's gone now, and they sold the studio. But the best, closest you could get to these cars when you grew up was building the model kits. And that's what started that obsession. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, we'll go with the girly one of us all. Sarah the Ted, how do you feel about collecting Barbies?
Barbies? I've never collected Barbies.
Keep them away from me unless you want them destroyed.
I used to play with Barbies when I was a kid, yes, but I never collected.
They're worth a fortune now.
I didn't collect Barbies, no.
Yeah. My sister what had about Skipper.
My Little Pony.
Oh, I love My God. Little Pony.
Don't become a brony on me, dude.
Bronies are cool. Bronies are cool.
I'm gay, and the bronies are too gay
for
me.
Dude, most people who are bronies are usually
straight. Yes.
No,
yes.
Are military suffering from PTSD, and My Little Pony was the first thing that they were able to handle.
I've talked to bronies several times over, and they're real. I like bronies. But yeah, I loved collecting stuff from the 80s. I'm a big 80s nerd.
Yeah. The cynical side of collecting when I first started to doubt was, you remember the big baseball card push in like the late 80s, early 90s?
Oh, God, yes.
Everything was collectible. And you know, that's the thing is, if it says collectible on it, it's not going to be worth anything because they printed 1,000,000,000,000 of them. It's the stuff that everybody ignored for years. And I'll give you a really sad story. It's going to kill some of the sports collectors if they're out there listening. I was up in Chico in 84 when I went to college, and I brought a bunch of my junk with me, and there was a sports collectible shop in the mall, and we went up there, and the guy was trying to hustle stuff, and he was trying to push all these cards, and I was like, nah, 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 and I said, do you buy old cards? And he's like, yeah, I buy old baseball memorabilia, and I was like, I had to pay my rent. You can probably see this coming. Well, I had, since a kid, because I was kind of in my non-sports phase in college. I had these two things I had in my drawer since a kid. They were the Jell-O junket collectible coins. When you bought Jell-O or something, it came with a little plastic collectible coin of baseball players. And I had Sandy Koufax on one of them. Yes. And I sold that to him for $50 to pay my rent. And it's probably worth a fortune now. But I didn't give a shit then. I was desperate. And I think back, and it's that episode of The Twilight Zone where the older version of the lady goes and smacks her younger self around. And I feel like that. I'm like, what were you thinking, you idiot? Stimpy, you idiot.
Right. Well, like I say, hindsight's the worst superpower.
Yeah,
in the world.
I know.
No, because with what my parents sold all my toys for, I would probably have been able to buy us a fat house off of that stuff.
Well, it becomes a problem with storage sometimes, too. If you can't store the stuff and you're living on a budget, it gets destroyed. I'm thinking of Scotty used to build those storage sheds out back just for his Star Wars toys in the boxes. And I admired that, but then you run out of room in the yard because they're filled with sheds. It gets absurd if you don't have a big mansion to keep them in.
Well, Chris's dad got a storage shed
not too long ago. I would have guessed that about him.
Yeah, just to put more collectibles in it.
Well, the problem, those models he has never built.
Yeah, seriously.
Now
I'm in a bond with your dad because we got something common. But I think they're military models, huh?
My grandmother was a flat-out hoarder. Antiques, blankets, quilts, fine hats, she would collect it. It stemmed from her losing the family fortune in the great crash of the Depression, and she always tried to get back those things, and she just never stopped collecting. She had warehouses. When my grandmother passed, that's in like almost 20 years ago, my aunt is still getting rid of stuff. I'm currently going through my mother's things, and I'm finding all sorts of things that, why on earth would she keep a
15-year-old Max Factor Foundation. Why?
It's like that.
Was it? Was the container actually Art Deco or something like that? Wow, okay.
You know, my grandmother had like all these Avon bottles and stuff. And so, oh yeah, the perfume, and you go to spritz it out, and it's all psss.
Yeah. And it smells like a car deodorizer or something.
Or worse, it goes bad.
Oh, Avon perfume stinks when it's like 20 years old.
Yeah, I had the, they sold boys' cologne in these little collectible cars. And I had those forever, and they broke. And I never used the cologne because, yeah, it's like, wow, this smells like lighter fluid or something.
And you can't take the perfume out because then it doesn't have the value. And then next thing you know, 5 years down the road, you've got this stink bomb just waiting to break.
And God knows that stuff decays and it starts eating the plastic.
And people will sell those in yard sales with the perfume in them still.
So I want to, let me take this collecting thing in a different direction. Because you were like saying ever collecting going bad, right? So, have you ever gone through somebody's collection and it's totally went in a way that you weren't expecting? Like, for instance, going on your Holier Than Thou Art Brothers room and finding like this huge collection of porn mags.
I think that may be something different than the art going on there.
So, what I'm saying is because when we, again, hoarding, my grandmother was a hoarder. So when we moved into her house to take over it, we went through a couple of drawers in the back room with Nazi paraphernalia, like Nazi SS.
That's not always. I know guys, Greg used to collect that.
Nazi like SS belt buckles, right?
Sure.
And I'm like, one, my family's from the deep south. I'm just saying, okay? So You hear about this stuff, you see it on TV, seeing it in real life is a totally different thing.
Oh, I know.
And then I was like, yo, Dad, like, I need you to come over here and check this out. Well, apparently a friend of the family's had given it to her kind of as a gift, and this dude was like a badass in World War II. He was taking out SS like nobody's business. And I'm like, well,
they're considered trophies.
That explains it. Yeah. But going from, even though I was raised in the military, it kind of freaked us out. We're all like,
my family's Nazis.
Yeah.
Where did this come from?
Well, it's taken on ominous thing. But you and I both have a mutual friend who was in the Marines, and I went over to the storage trailer, and he has Nazi flags and stuff like that. I know for a fact he's not a racist or anything like that. But to him, having gone to military school and stuff like that, was considered battle trophies, that you conquered your enemy and you took that stuff off of them. It had the opposite meaning. It was like you captured their flag, and that's what it means to him. And it's also history to show the evidence that people, that this really happened, because there's Holocaust deniers out there. And you say, this is really it. But it takes on a different meaning to them.
Can you imagine that? Just a different enunciation of the Holocaust. We're going to talk about the Holocaust right now. Yeah, the Holocaust.
My great-grandfather, Daddy Doug,
it's not a
in
black
World War
metal
I,
band, it's a white metal
would
band.
Would take the bayonets off the guns of people he was fighting. Yeah. My grandfather, his collection was stupid officers. He would take medals or pens or something. He did have a couple of SS, but he had more American, sadly, than anything, and quite a few French ones also. He did not have much respect for the French.
Yeah. But
a lot
nowadays,
of
the
stuff
French
that was sent
nice
over
people
to give relief.
Let me guess, he later supported Freedom Fries.
He just fries.
Sorry, I interrupted
but,
your train of thought.
A lot of the supplies, the wood, the bricks, and all that was sent over to help relieve the area, for example, My grandfather knocked the hell out of a French officer who was demanding having the officer club built, not rebuilt, built, instead of putting support structures up in the hospital because it had the reputable unwashed masses. My grandfather looked at him, looked at his superior officers, worth it, knocked him out, went and grabbed the material, building material, dropped it off the hospital, looked at his superior officer when he crawled out, says, "I'm ready for the brig now." He says, "I didn't see nothing." But he got one of his little badges.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, that's a totally, you know, people, it's collecting trophies, you know. Nowadays, it's all, you play your video games and you collect your little trophies for getting your achievements.
Mm-hmm. But it's all in the on the memory.
It doesn't take up room.
Yeah. Too. I wonder how much of this is us living in small apartments and cheap places. You know, the virtual stuff is on your hard drive. It doesn't take up any space.
Well, I live in a tiny home. I have.
And you know, now you're dealing with the
non-fungible tokens.
Well, which this is totally. I don't even think this could cover anything that we cover in our brands, but the whole metaverse and Bitcoin. I know there's a collecting in there and stuff. Look, you and I talk. We like tangible, real things.
Yeah.
You know, look, yes, I download music from iTunes, and it works for what it does.
Yeah.
Because
I understand there's a compactness to it.
But with that being said, and because I know the Scotty you talk about, uh-huh. Scott would put that on everything just to make sure he saved his music.
Right.
Because if you're listening, Scott, I'm sorry. He is a bit paranoid.
Yes. No. I absolutely. I was my roommate for years. And I was like, wow, really?
But, you know, so I know me personally collecting is for nostalgia reasons. Let's face it. And the experiences, like they said, hey, would you like to get an autograph of Stan Lee or would you like to take a picture of him with him? Sarah decided to take a picture and let's face it.
Because I was like, how much is the price? They're like, same price. And I was like, really?
Yeah, I mean,
now that Stan, the budget to do both.
Now that Stan Lee has passed on, his worth has gone up significantly, especially because his ideas are making Disney billions of dollars. Yeah. Even not just his ideas, but ideas he shared with people like, you know, like Jack Kirby and, you know.
Well, he was one of the grandfathers of the Silver Age of comics. I mean, X-Men and Spider-Man were the first, as my mom's friend when I was younger said, the superheroes have problems now. Should I leap this tall building or should I make everyone hate me? And he got a big laugh. And I was like, no, but they're more human. They're more relatable. And that was mostly Stan Lee's doing.
I know, it made him more
accessible,
more relatable. Yeah. Why is Spider-Man one of the most popular heroes? Is because this is a kid who got beat up, who was a nerd, who got these powers. He decided to profit off of them. It ended up costing him his Uncle Ben. If anybody's listening and doesn't know this, I'm sorry I spoiled it for you. But come on, this is a story that's been around since the 60s. And they've only told it about 8 billion times since then in some sort of media. But the point is, and then you look, he's going to school. He's trying to keep a job. He's trying to be a superhero.
And in the beginning, the X-Men are like avoiding
Right, but the point is they take him, and they take these heroes, and they show something that we all see. Oh, I'm the weirdo, I'm the nerd, I'm the freak. So guess what? I'm an X-Men because they go through the same problems that we do. Or oh, I'm the nerd. I wasn't popular with the people. I'm Spider-Man. I can relate to that character just because he ended up becoming really cool. This is why they're popular. This is just like Superman. Superman came from a place of stranger from a strange land growing up and being raised on different values than what he was born to. And he learned and he became a great hero because at the time he was raised on good old American values.
Sure.
You know, and this is why these characters are desired and why they're the most popular characters. And again, being around so long, you go along, oh, I did 10,000 copies of one single issue 50 years ago. How many of those copies are around today?
Yeah, because they're perishable.
Exactly.
And they were in garages and they rotted away. That's similar with model kits too. They get crushed or blown up.
Or your great grandmother throws out the original Captain America's because her son came home and he no longer needs this, the cheering section of the comics. And they're rotting their mind of the today's.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, so.
Went through that.
So, before you finish the story, when you say original Captain America, are we talking about pre-Marvel Captain America?
We're talking about the propaganda one, where he's hitting Hitler.
Wow.
My
That's
got to
be worth a few now.
Everything of my grandfather's comic book collection out.
Yeah, my mom would give all my my comics to my cousins because they're poor. She gave all my comics away. I did manage to retain an Aquaman. Woo!
Hey,
it was California Sinking, which a friend of mine posted on where it was one of the first comics or books to mention that California might roll into the ocean and these bad guys were going to set off an atomic bomb. So Aquaman has to go to the bottom of the ocean and tell all the sea creatures to stop the atomic bomb. And as a kid, it fascinated me. And then I grew up and I was like, wow, that's corny. But it's one of the more valuable Aquaman now for what Aquaman is worth.
Hey, Jason Momoa kind of made Aquaman kind of cool.
Right.
You want to be a marine biologist as a kid.
Ah. So.
You know, so. I just listening, it kind of makes me reflect. Remember when we were kids and you hear all the old people go, oh, they don't make things like they used to make. You know what? I hate to say
it. It's universal.
Guess what? I think we've come to that point because, again, collecting. I remember Castle Grayskull as a kid, and now I had bought the new Castle Grayskull. Detail wise, the new Castle Grayskull is great. It has a lot of great detail. However, quality and sturdiness has nothing on the old Castle Grayskull. Yeah. So much better. So much more plastic that probably would never buy a die.
I had some of the original Tonka toys, and those things were indestructible, except they rusted, which is where most.
Well,
and those are worth money.
I don't take that bet because I got the steel indestructible dump truck when I was in Christmas, and then I promptly broke it.
Was it the one? Yeah, I had that one. I loved that.
Well, Elisa, we know that your childhood was a heaping pile of.
My childhood was awesome. It's the teenage years that suck.
Right, but we know that. We know that. Yeah, we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. God, I had something I was going to go with here.
So, Sarah the Ted, you look like you want to say something. Please tell us. Tell us about things you collected that you're really into besides Celine Dion albums.
I don't have all of her albums.
Oh, see? There's a collector there. She's like,
no, challenge I just don't
them.
Have all of her albums. Yeah. She's got a lot
but
of them.
But the fact
there.
That she knows she doesn't have all of them.
I used to have all the garbage pail kits.
Yeah, my brother collected this.
Sister.
We didn't chew the gum, though. It was kind of, in the words of what kids say today, it was kind of sus.
One thing.
We didn't know what it was. Because if it came with Booger Louie or, you know, whatever, you're like, are we really going to eat that?
Even the seagulls would not eat the gum.
coming from those things.
Exactly. You know, it's speaking of garbage pail kids.
Series, and then my neighbor stunk.
Yeah.
What about garbage?
Yeah. What? Speaking of garbage pail kids, it's funny how many things that are collectibles they, when they're out there, controversial. Now you, 20 years later, you look back and you're like, that was so wholesome. Garbage pail kids. I mean,
garbage pail kids was never wholesome.
No, I know. It's like makes me think of Mad. I loved Mad magazines. They were considered as bad as pornography at Catholic school. And you go back and look at them, and they're so tame.
Spy versus spy.
Yeah. And my mom was in the John Birch Society. She used to burn shit. She was a book burner for a little while. And one of the things she burned was my Mad magazines. And she burned the first one, and by chance, she started to read it, and then she flipped, and she got to like them, and she said, that was stupid of me, and we bonded over Mad magazines, and I started collecting them, and they're getting really hard to find in wholesome condition now, and they came out with a DVD that had all of them on it years ago, but they sold it to this company that it had a proprietary format or a viewer associated with it, and the company went under, and they have the rights to all this. And it was great having them on this one DVD. It was so great, but you can't get it now because it's an old format that was momentary and proprietary, and the company went over under and took the rights with them, and it pisses me off.
We got 6 degrees of Mad magazine.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, we do.
I may be interested in that. Go ahead. Too, so.
Oh, Sergio.
Sergio.
Yeah. Sergio Aragonés?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
We've met him.
He opened the door for us. He's cool as fuck. Conversation.
Yeah.
We got locked out of our hotel late night.
Oh, I think you told me about that. Before.
Sergio.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so funny.
Greg loved Gru the Adventurer. Yep. That was a whole. Yeah.
Yeah. So, that was him.
You know, speaking of controversial collections, so when I actually got a job and I would started collecting my own CDs, I was old enough to buy Two Lives Crews, Want to Be.
My brother had that one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when we were kids, we're not supposed to listen to this. This is so cool.
Yeah.
In hindsight of things, it really is a bit overrated. I'm like, I like the... Going at now, that's when I first got to learn about Voodoo Child by
Jimi Hendrix. Yeah, my favorite song by him.
Yeah, which also is the entrance song to Hollywood Hulk Hogan, brother.
Oh, right.
So yeah, anyways. People collect music and movies and all sorts of things. We have a child that collects Disney.
Yeah. Winnie the Pooh. Well, I bought him a Winnie the Pooh.
Wait, yes, we have two children.
That child collects Winnie the Pooh. The other child?
Collects Disney.
Oh, you're talking about Lex.
No, we're talking about Autumn.
Autumn
is a Disney freak.
Autumn is a huge Bugs Life fan. She loves Heimlich.
She collects anything with Heimlich. She likes
Heimlich because he's a beautiful butterfly.
Also collects Disney ears. Her collection of Disney ears is just, I had to buy her a big, at Joann's, they had these like big hat boxes 1 year. And I had to buy her big hat box to fit all of them in.
Wasn't I in the car with you guys one day and she had some rabbit ears on? Or was that Lex? That was the ones,
Autumn, collects.
And Autumn also collects anything Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
She's now collected her albums on vinyl.
Oh, I'm kind of proud of her there.
Yeah, she's doing vinyl with them. And she's got, she is total. She can tell you anything about Taylor Swift. Yeah. That's her obsession, is collecting that. And Disney. She likes to collect the popcorn buckets from Disney as well. So she's a big, big Disney nerd. So she'll collect anything Disney related.
You were talking about nostalgia being a driver. One thing I get into now that is kind of paradoxical and maybe bordering on hypocrisy is the old obscure punk band albums, because when punk came out, it was anti-nostalgia. The bands were supposed to be disposable. You live fast, die young, leave a beautiful corpse. Some of it, not all of it, you know. And now I'm collecting these bands that didn't expect to live this long or even leave a legacy. And the more obscure the band, the better. So it's kind of paradoxical. I belong to a group that the person who could find the most obscure regional punk band with like one vinyl album, it's great. It's a huge find. And this band probably went, we're not going to amount to anything, and broke up. So.
Who's that?
What?
Who's the group?
Oh, I don't know. There's a lot of regional ones. Let me think of, let me look up some of the names. One band got a second career life out of it. It's Human Switchboard. They were like just an Ohio band. And there was like, the album got ignored. I think it's called Landing in My Hangar or something like that.
No wonder it got ignored.
Yeah. So, but it's not now. It's considered a classic. And I think they even reissued it, which took the collector's value out. But yeah, I've got names in here, but there's so many little regional nuggets, especially around the New York area.
Yeah.
So because I know most of the people are in here are fans of punk music.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So what's the go-to punk band for you?
Career-wise,
Susie and the Banshees.
No, Classic Clash is really good, but I think my all-time overall
for you, Susie and band the Banshees, huh?
Had to be
or The Cure.
One of the 80s bands like Husker Du or The Replacements or The Meat Puppets. And I have a big thing for Wire, but they're considered post-punk, whatever that is.
So what about you? You like punk far better than I do. I
never thought about it, to tell you the truth. I mean, like, yes, because I loved the 90s punk,
would you consider Green Day punk?
Yes, Green Day's
punk. They're considered blasphemy to a lot of people in the original school punk because they're kind of a carbon copy band. If you're old school, you recognize all the bands they ripped off. But they have some good tunes. I like their Dookie, I thought was a pretty good album.
All right, so you're Green Day. We'll go with Green Day for me. Because I really am not into punk, but I do like Social Distortion.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not into punk as much as.
I love the first Social Distortion album I really like, Mommy's Little Monster. It's one of their more obscure ones. And then they became more of a hardcore rockabilly, like Bad, Bad Luck. I love that song, but the rest of the album is...
What about all those female punk bands that you hear about?
Oh, the Riot Blondie Girls are great.
Sold out.
You like who?
Blondie before she sold out.
Yeah.
Wait, which one was that band that, this is going to be graphic here for a minute, that was on stage and pulled out their tampon on?
Oh,
what was that? That was a punk band.
Wasn't that Pussy Riot or something like that?
Could be. Their first band to do that had tampons on stage was Throbbing Gristle, but they aren't a girl band.
No, it was all female band. Yeah, it happened a long time ago.
Oh man, you're stretching my memory here. I think it was one of the Riot bands. Slater Kinney. It was, I think that may have been Bikini Kill.
I don't remember, but I remember seeing something on it on when VH1 and was popular. Yeah. You know, the channel VH1.
Yeah, I really love Slater Kinney. We're going who? They were one of the Riot. They're probably the best Riot Girl band to come out. But I'm a white male, so But you know what? They were damn good. The Woods is an excellent album.
There is also a collecting out there. People collect children. We know people need to stop having babies. Yeah.
I don't think that counts.
Well,
but
and with that being said.
Just kidding. Yeah. Just kidding. But no, that doesn't collect.
Heads up, fundamentalists. Vaginas are not clown cars.
Hey, anyways, we've been doing this for a while because we like talking nerd things and collecting. As you can tell, certain people are really passionate about it. So with that being said, let's give a couple of last words, but I think we're going to call it quits. Sarah the Ted.
Don't have anything else to add.
Alisa.
Don't knock the enrichment background characters. Without them, the story would be flat, boring, and wasteful.
At the end of this whole thing that we're signing off, I just remember one of my big collectibles is Classics Illustrated, because my mom wouldn't buy Spider-Man with all the violence in it, so she got me Literate Comics, and I have almost the entire set. But she didn't realize she's given me Crime and Punishment by Dostoevsky, where he murders his landlord. Oh, yeah, Mom, I thought you didn't care about violence, but it's literate, so it's okay.
Jeez. Yep. Anyways, we're about ready to keep going on this tangent. So with that being said, this is the director. Peace out, people. We'll see you next week with our new schedule of Fridays. Have a good night.
Bye.
All right.
I didn't want to have to go up the stairs to the other bathroom.
I think we're getting better, actually. If you run out of toilet paper in the bathroom, it's on the bottom, in the bottom drawer to the right of the toilet.
Okay. Ufta.
Ufta.
I just figured Swedish cuss word. We could have kept going.
Yeah.
But
that would have been like a 4-hour show.
Was it 4 hours?
No, I don't think so. I think it's...
No, we're going to do... We may have to set up a... We're going to go... We're going to do CK Project Mondays, put it on Wednesdays, and put Geek Ultra on Wednesdays, put them out on Fridays. Why? Because I've been realizing getting these done on the weekends, it takes some time out of something.
Yeah.
Because what could we be doing? We are trying to get a couple things really... forward in the production. Our weekends are going to be doing production shit anyway. So I figured, are you guys agreeable for Monday, Wednesday to do podcasting?
Mm-hmm. Not all the time, but yes.
I'm wondering if I could have this setup just on the table ready to go like this, but it would... Because I have to cart the laptop back and forth, I'm thinking maybe I should eventually get a second laptop and have, because if this one was dedicated, it would make it just, we could just blow them out like that.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
So.
Don't be sorry.
Yeah, don't be sorry. You're okay. You didn't
do anything
wrong.
Could we do this on Mondays and Wednesdays? Then get them out on Wednesdays and Thursdays or Fridays, which would get us on a schedule. Look, this year...
There's our podcast schedule.
You're talking about schedule, right? We've been watching shit to do it, to be successful. We have to be on a schedule. And that's something we need to do.
I thought you wanted me to pick your schedule.
But,
pick that schedule thing, but...
Oh, you need
for... We're together. We may have to throw an extra day in somewhere. Like, if Steven wants to get on a podcast.
A Geek Ultra.
So if we get him on a geek one...
Steven from work?
No, Steven from...
Right. Ash and Steven.
Ash and Steven.
Yeah. You know the lovable collectible we call Stash?
Yeah. Woody.
Stash.
Woody. Yeah, well, we need to get him on here to talk about Toy Story collecting.
He wants to talk about board games.
Oh, that would be cool. Yeah, that actually would be good. So, all right. All I need is a room tone for that tomorrow morning, and I'll fire it up and I'll compress it and get it to you.
We'll bring your thumb drive over.
Right? No, I have.